Knowing Christ, that is what Malcolm asked me a few weeks ago if I'd preach on this morning. And in various churches, I've preached on that text in one way or another many, many times. This time, it's been very different. Can I just share this with you? Not for the purpose of effect, but just tell you how sensitive we need to be to the Holy Spirit. Each morning when I've sat down after doing my normal readings, I've opened my Bible at Philippians and said, Lord, I now have to prepare about knowing you. And morning, after a few minutes of trying to jot down some cursory notes, I've had to get up, get out of my bedroom, go into the lounge and wait on God. And I've had to say time after time, Lord, I don't know what to say. Knowing you, do I truly know you myself? And that is the question I believe God wants me to pose to each one of us this morning. However mature you may be in the Christian life, however many years ago Christ became your Lord and Savior, I believe there is still a fundamental question, and that is why, you see, Paul writes this to a particular church, the first church Paul ever founded in Philippi. And he writes this many years later when he's the mature teacher of these new churches. And he said, can I just tell you, Philippians, I desperately want to know Jesus. And they've said, Paul, you've been teaching us for years. You're a man of tremendous intellect as well as of tremendous spirituality. Paul, we're sorry, we don't know what you're talking about. You've told us how we must love Jesus and get to know him. And you are now saying that you're still struggling with this problem. It's still an issue in your life. That's my ambition, Paul is saying to them. Believe me. And I'll try and get you to understand what I'm talking about. It may have struck a number of these Christians in Philippi as a very strange statement that Paul is making to them. In fact, from Paul's initial transformation on the road outside Damascus, it appears that Christ, the risen Christ, had not only confronted Paul visually, as Christ stood in front of Paul and said, you desperately need to repent of your sin. The risen Christ had not only appeared, but for an unspecified number of years in the biblical record, he was bringing Paul up to date in his knowledge of all that Christ had accomplished in his life. I share that view with a number of Bible commentators, that those unspecified years when Paul said, when God who set me apart was pleased to reveal his Son in me, I did not consult any man, but I went immediately into Arabia. On his own? No. He went with the Christ who had confronted him, and over that unspecified period of time, he was taught. I want to maintain this morning that very same process needs to be repeated in every single Christian's life, including my own. Go and make disciples, teach them what has happened to them spiritually. That was the committal of early Christians. Teach what has happened. It may be very emotional and we rejoice in this, but let them understand so that in turn, the very great hope that is now within them will be understood. And to be able, as Scripture said, are you able to give a reason for the hope that is in you? That's the key word. Praise God for the filling of the Holy Spirit. We prayed for it this morning before we came into the sanctuary. Sensing the presence of the risen Christ, knowing our hearts moved But then we're going out there and people say, well, tell me why I should become a Christian. Tell me what happened to you, and are you able to give a reason? Not just it. Oh, it's wonderful. Yes, praise God, it is wonderful. But are you capable of giving a reason for this eternal hope that you now possess? Yes, at times Paul almost despaired over certain of the fellowships that he had created who remained spiritual infants. That's how he called some of his churches. Spiritual infants. He said, you are milk-fed still some years after your conversion. I can't give you meat. You can't take it because you're neglecting to know Jesus day after day, seeking instruction at his hand and the hand of the Holy Spirit. You should be on the meat course by now. You're still on milk. There's scarcely a single day when I don't find myself in one or other of Paul's epistles. So often I confess to being pinned to my chair, either as I marvel and rejoice at Paul's revelation of God's grace, or very often experiencing shame at my failure to live as Christ calls me to do. Am I listening to the Spirit speaking to me through the Word and instructing me as to what God wants of me that day? That's why, as I allow God's Word to deal with me, I can understand what Paul is saying here. There's so much more waiting for me to grasp and put into action in my daily living, and in that way to deepen my fellowship with Jesus and so live more effectively for him by getting to know him better. I'll expand on that in a moment. When Paul writes, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable in his death, dying to Christ. That's how I want to know him. This isn't sentimental. This isn't just a nice feeling. It's a life totally committed, intellectually, emotionally, and voluntarily to what God is calling me. Paul writes, I want to know him and the power. It's not a new relationship Paul is talking about. He already possesses that new life in Christ. He's been changed. You've been saved. You're restored to fellowship with God the Father. And your sins have been washed away. That's happened. Praise God for that testimony. No, Paul realizes that what every Christian should realize, that this new life he possesses means he has become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that will take of the things of Christ day after day, reveal them to you, through them reveal God's will for you, and then ask you sometimes very painful questions about your standing before him. And that life needs to develop. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God has tested me this week and said, have you grown over the last 12 months? Am I looking at a different Clem Roberts now than I did a year ago? And that life needs to develop, not remain immature. And so in his first epistle to the Corinthians, Paul takes those Christians to task and he says, stop being children. Oh, yes, he does. Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, if you want to check that. You're like children, he said, spiritually. You need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, in the knowledge of it. This is how it happens, he said. Keep your life so constant in its contact with God that his surprising power can break through you at any time. Leave sufficient time for God to come in with you as he chooses. The question, am I giving God sufficient time each and every day to deal with me? Because I need him to. Such is my weakness. Such is my helplessness. Such is my limitation. Yes, you've come to love the Lord, and you can rejoice in the forgiveness of your sin. But what does God now require in terms of a life lived for him? You are not your own. You've been bought with a price, says the Word of God. You've been purchased. Has that purchase been worthwhile to your Savior? Has he paid the sufficient price for you? Isn't it obvious that Paul would tell us that you really need to know him more, and so daily be more ready to respond to him, to reflect him in each and every part of your life? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Is this happening in my life? That men see the light of Jesus in me. Just listen as Paul is telling these Philippian Christians in verse 1. This is my prayer for you, that your love will grow more and more. How? I'm coming back to this word. In knowledge and in deeper understanding of God's best for you. Are you discovering that? Is it a regular process of discovery? Discovering more and more about Jesus and his heavenly Father day after day. If you've got your Bible open at Philippians, because that's where our reading came from, but I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Listen to these words. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. Look at the words in verses 9, 10, 11, 12. Love, knowledge, insight, discernment, purity, blamelessness, fruitlessness. That's why I need to know him. That's why I had to get up from my desk every morning while I tried to put this study together. I said, Lord, this is not a picture of me at the moment. The Lord said, Clem, I know. That's why you can't get on with this. That's why I'm troubling you. That's why you feel ill. And the key question I now have to answer is, what is my appetite for hearing God's voice? How keen am I to hear him speaking to me in a very clear and uncomplicated way? The hymnist said, Master, speak, thy servant heareth, waiting for thy gracious word, longing for thy voice that cheereth. Master, let it now be heard. I am listening, Lord, to thee. What dost thou to say to me? However comforting, however difficult, however challenging is the thing you want to say to me this morning. The Word of God is my daily way of listening to what he wants to say to me. Do you understand? Can I just repeat that? The Word of God is the way God wants to speak to you day after day. Are you allowing Him? The Word of God is my daily way. Incidentally, you see, and I've said this to many Christians, particularly young Christians I've led to the Lord, yes, prayer is wonderful and God wants you to seek His face. But remember this, it's important for you to let Him speak to you before you presume to speak to Him. And I'll say this from experience over many, many years. When I fed my mind with God's Word, my prayer time is very different from what it would have been had I not done so. And the content of my prayer is different because I've allowed God to speak to me. Yes, you've come to love the Lord. Yes, you want to hear His voice. But as Paul told the Ephesian Christians, that same word does something else for you too that you can't do without. When he wrote to the Ephesian church, he said, come to the Word of God and have a wash. It's a cleansing word. It's the laver that was in the tabernacle and in the temple where you washed before the presence of God. And the Word of God will do that if you listen and you decide that you're going to be obedient to what you've heard. Oh yes, said Paul, you're having a wash. He told the Ephesian church that. The man who knows and believes that he possesses a new life in Christ will desire to walk in that new life, won't he? If not, it's a very strange possession he claims to have come into. And by God's Holy Spirit, who now indwells him, he'll want to practice what he's being taught. That's the characteristic of the disciple. What do I mean? Well, the disciple is a man of discipline. And the daily discipline that God requires of each of us is for our health and for our fruitfulness. Of course, your enemy, the devil, can throw all sorts of difficulties and problems and issues and temptation in your path to deflect you from coming to your Heavenly Father and allowing His Word to search you out. Your Heavenly Father knows all about these. And he's amazed that so often, I know this, he's amazed that so often I have failed to come to him with the things that are disturbing me and deflecting me. And my Heavenly Father said, why aren't you talking to me? I've spoken to you, haven't I? And you failed me, haven't you? When did I last hear from you? In intimate conversation. Do you remember Jesus saying to Peter, Peter, Satan wants to take you apart. He wants to destroy you. Peter is no different from us. Satan wants to sift you like wheat, said Jesus. Lord, listen, Clem, I'm praying for you. I've prayed for you. Now, most of us have found reading through the book of Job difficult. I've done it, gritting my teeth sometimes, once or twice in recent years. In Job, that character that God raised up and said, Satan, look at this specimen of mine. Isn't he a wonderful man? And then Job goes through those awful experiences. And at one point in his sheer frustration, while he's under attack from his so-called friends, Job cries out, oh, if only I had a day's man. That's the word in the Authorized Version. If only I had an advocate. If only I had an arbiter, someone to come between me and God to plead my case. And we can say, thank God we have one. We have a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives to plead for us, and my name is written on his hands. Do you come to your great high priest in your desperation, in your frustration, in your disappointment with yourself, and you say, Lord Jesus, seated at the right hand of God the Father, you promised to intercede for me. When the time comes for me to face your Father, you are going to present me to him faultless. Not that I will be faultless, but you've made me faultless. Listen, you have the problem maybe that you don't know him well enough. Can I ask you that? Do you know your great high priest? Do you know your arbiter? Do you know your advocate? That I might know him, said Paul. That's what I'm after. You only know him by spending time with him. If you're too busy to spend sufficient time with him each and every day, let me tell you this, you are too busy. The word of God needs to be your daily food. Prayer is God's means of breathing his spirit into you. You need his mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's Paul speaking here to these Philippian Christians, talking to Jesus. 4 years ago today, the 4th of February, Meryl spoke to me for the last time. She's not spoken to me since. We had just finished together coming before the throne of God that morning. We spent wonderful times, as Christian couples here will know from their own experience, sharing in our marriage. And I visit her now every day, as most of you know, and I talk to her, and she looks at me, and occasionally she grasps what I've said because she smiles. And I say to her, remember me on Sunday morning? It'd be wonderful if she knew it was Sunday. Remember me on Sunday morning? I said, I'm preaching in St. Mary's. And God wants me to bring the word that he wants them to hear, not what I want them to hear. And she looks at me and has a little nod. And I said, Lord, help her to understand. I'm going to pray. Why? Because our 60-year-old marriage is still precious. And the thing I miss most is talking to her, having fellowship in a way with her. As I pray for her, I said, well, let's come to the Lord in prayer. She understands that because she immediately closes her eyes. By the time I finish, she's sometimes fast asleep. But that's another matter. If I've trusted Christ for my salvation, let's look at it like this. And known his great love in dying for me, just imagine the love you're going to experience when you stand in his presence and his heavenly Father says to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of heaven, into the incredible life awaiting you in eternity. But in the meantime, Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 says, when God was pleased to reveal his Son in me, then what followed? I have to question whether God's purpose in saving me is being fulfilled each and every day. Is Christ being seen in me by the people I live with, my daughter and my grandsons? Do they see Jesus in me? Not just in my religious observance that takes place at certain times and certain days of the week, but as the hymnist wrote, that my whole being may proclaim his being and his ways. My mind, my emotions, my will subject to him. Let this mind be in you. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Here I am, wholly available to God to do with me what he wills. There's my mind, my emotions, and my will subject to the purposes of God. I'm coming to the end of what I have to say. Under Sam's instructions, I'm just about on time. It was 3:30 this morning, and I was wide awake listening to my mother singing. No, she's not still alive, believe it or not. But I was listening to Mam. I've said this before, the most godly woman I've ever known. And she was singing these words. Oh, tell me more, how much I need his power to keep, his hand to lead. Oh, tell me more of him I love until I see his face above. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me and in you to give him great pleasure. The Lord bless you.